Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehi ha'bidvaro. Allow me to take you back with Siyata Deshmaya to begin tonight with something that I mentioned briefly in the Drasha Shabbos morning. Rabbi Yerucham in his Das Torah several times brings in the name of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal. The obvious question when we turn towards the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Vayera, and we're holding by plague number 7 by Makas Borod, it's a peladik, an astonishing posuk. Hayore yestavar Hashem me'avdi paro heinus esavodavi esmekenei olabatim. Hazok the Torah, that the one who feared the word of God, someone who was a Baal Yerushamayim, sehinu, to go ahead and take his servants, his cattle, the livestock, and bring it into the house. And the obvious difficulty is, what Tom, Dick, and Harry wouldn't go ahead and do this, especially by the time plague number 7 rolls around. You already saw the Osos and the Mosim. You saw the Dam, the Tzvardeya, Kinam, Orav, Dever, and the Shechin. And now you're up to plague number 7. And every single thing that Moshe Rabbeinu already told you was going to take place took place. Lo and behold, every single warning was actualized. Every Ashora was materialized. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said came true. So why in the world wouldn't you listen? And yet the Torah goes out of its way to make it quite clear that the only individuals who actually listened were the Yorei Estavarashe. Those who fear the word of God. Explains what we saw, Salanter, Shlomo Melech L'Chocham Yikoholom, the very last Pasuk, Berg Zayin of Koheles, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made man Yashar, but what? Hema Bikshu Cheshbonis Rabbim. A man started initially as Yashar. He is Yashar, he is Tov, he is good, he's upright. But what happens? We're always looking for Cheshbonis, we're always making calculations, we're always bringing our own intellect, our own knowledge into the mice, and we're messing things up, and we're destroying the Yashras. We're taking things that initially were straight, and we're making them crooked by being machnis our cheshbonos. Mamela, if you want a way out, you'll always find a way out. Even by a Kriyas Yamsuf, one of the greatest miracles in the history of mankind, you can always dismiss it. Oh, it was a strong wind coming in from this direction and the waves, and there's always a Pesach. There's always a way to dismiss even the greatest of miracles as mere coincidence. No matter what happens, there's always a way out. Yes, cognitive dissonance, you see it clearly, but what? It's Hema Bikshu Cheshbonis Rabbim. Therefore explains Rav Yisrael Salanter, and Rav Yerucham expounds on this Bekamu Dukti in several places. The Torah makes it quite clear. You know what? If you didn't like the Jewish people, and if you were filled with anti-Semitism, and if you were one of Paro's devotees, in the end of the day, you're not going to listen to Moshe, no matter how many proofs he brings you, no matter how many times he wows and astounds you repeatedly throughout the duration of the Esamakis. In the end of the day, only those people who were Taka Yorei Estavar Hashem heeded the warning, and they actually brought their Avodim and their Mikneh. They were Machnis, the above, into their homes. That's a Yorei Estavar Hashem. And the Mela, Zok the Briska Rav, when we read onwards and we get up to Pasuk HaBeis and Perek Tes, the last week's Parsha, Vayomer Hashem Emotion, Etzei Yizyon Chala Shamayim, stretch out your hand towards the heavens above, He Bored of Chalert Tzorim, the hail's going to come down all over Egypt. And where's that hail going to land? Ala Odom, V'yala Behema, V'yakol Esav Asodah B'yert Tzorim, asks the Briska Rav, why not you just told me, He Bored of Chalert Tzorim, if the Bored landed everywhere, then isn't that all-inclusive? By definition, if the bard, the hailstorm came and went throughout the land of Egypt, then Mamela, it automatically attacked the Adam, mankind, the Egyptian people themselves, and the Behemoth, their cattle, their livestock, and the Ace of Asodim, Yerzotai. So Torah doesn't write anything superfluous. Why the extra mention? Why the need to spell out Adam and Behemoth and Ace of Asodim? If you already informed me that the bard was Bechol Yerzotai, and it's moving Mamela, it's axiomatic, and it affected every place. Explains the Briska Rav, no. In Chedush Agra Zal HaTorah writes, the Briska Rav, Ravelvela Salavechik, the Torah wants you to know that the hail wasn't everywhere. The hail landed where? Since Hashem gave you a warning and said, HaYorei Yestavar Hashem will be Menes Esavonavi Esmekenei Olamatim. So you might think that what? That the board went everywhere. But if you feared God, then now that you were shielded by the roof of your house, now Mamela, the board, the hailstorm didn't affect you. No. The whole test of of, if you were mamisha yori as Tavar Hashem was, that when Hashem told you bring the animals and the servants into your homes, there won't even be any hail there. Tahainu, the hail was so manipulated by the Abishter. You know where the hail landed? Not Mechlar Tzisrayim. In general, yes, it came throughout the land of Egypt, but where did it land? It only landed on where there were people outside, on where there were animals left outside, and on the grass and vegetation left in the fields. That's it. Tahainu, don't think that, oh, Hashem, I outsmarted you. And now that I went ahead and brought it into my house, oh, you see, hail's not affecting me. It's landing on the rooftop and it's not coming in. No, Zuck the Brisker off. If you listen to Hashem, Hashem is telling you, I'm so in charge over here that I'm giving you an advance warning. Bring it into your house, and you don't need protection from the house, because then it's not Giloy Milsa, that's Yoris Tavar Hashem. Because a Tom Nicanari, who has any sense, any intellect whatsoever, is going to bring it into the house. Terrence says, Hashem says, if you bring it into the house, there won't even be any hail there. Nothing's even going to transpire there. It's only going to affect what? The Odom, and the Behemoth, and the Ace of Asoda. That's, and the only places where the board affected, where Dafka, the things left out in the field, clearly a demonstration that Hashem was in control, manipulating every act of nature, every movement of every single one of the Bar, the same way many Rishonim say in Tainus Beis Manalath Maskew and Gevuras Keshamim. Tchesam Esa writes the Avodrom. Why is it called Gevuras Keshamim? Every individual raindrop is controlled by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every single drop, the Abister is manipulating. So too here, the hailstorm. Now, the Torah goes out of its way to say, Einach Nami, this was the greatest one ever. We never had a Shalahoya, Kamo Mecharetz Ameas, Haisel Gois. Even though you read Extraordinary Book of Facts, page 184, and you'll find that there were places in the world that they had the largest hail storm ever. In different places, the largest pieces of hail that are recorded in history were 17 and a half inches in diameter, larger than an NBA basketball. And imagine here, you had all these hail, these stones coming down, but they only landed targeting Hashem, so manipulated it, that they only went and got you. It was mamash like, l'havdil afi ados, playing a video game. It's like space, and I'm just going to get you there, and I'm just going to get you there. And it wasn't stam all over the place. It was specific targeting Adam, Asa, and Behemoth, and that's where the Torah is Madgish, Adkan the Briskarov. Perhaps there's another idea at play, and that is that we know that Barad is plague number 7, and we close Parshas Vayera with Makas Barad with plague number 7, to shear in and of itself. Why can't the Torah just put all 10 plagues in one Parsha? Why is it broken up 7 in one, 3 in the other one, Ad Kedei Kach, that Parshas Bo, the Baal HaTurim, and other Rishonim say is even called Bo, because Bo is based on Aleph 3, highlighting the 3 Makas that take place in the pages of Parshas Bo. Why the Torah had to split it up? Either way, Barad clearly acts as the closure for Makas that appear on the pages of Parshas Vayera. This is Kol Makei Fosai. This brings the first set, the first series, to its culmination. What's that idea? Perhaps the idea is as follows. If you look at the 6 preceding plagues, every plague targeted either Adam, either mankind, the Egyptian people themselves, or their produce, their grain, their vegetation out in the fields, or their livestock, or any combination of 2 of the 3 of the above. But never did we have Dam. Doesn't affect the vegetation in the same sense. It's not actively destroying the vegetation. That's Tzfardea. Go through the first 6 plagues. We didn't address all 3 aspects of society simultaneously until we arrive at plague number 7, Amakas Borod. And here we see Hashem says, Komage Fosai, I'm going to get Adam, I'm going to get Behema, and I'm going to get Ace of Asada. The hailstorms will simultaneously attack every aspect of Egyptian society. The human beings, the vegetation, and the livestock are all going to be addressed, all attacked simultaneously. That's Komage Fosai. But perhaps Hashem is saying something even more. Because another interesting contrast to plague number 7 versus all the preceding plagues was that each one of the first 6 plagues still was something that already existed in nature. Something still familiar to Egyptian people. Everybody knows what blood is. Yes, it's miraculous that God transforms the water into blood. Yes, it's miraculous how God manipulated all the frogs all over the world. But sof, they know what frogs are. Lice. Yes, there were lice, vermin all over the place. But lice is something that that's already in the creation. And Arav, there are already wild animals and wild beasts, lions, tigers, and bears. And there was a concept of boils. And there's a concept of Deborah, pestilence that affects adversely the livestock. There was no Metzias Chadosh until Makas Borah. Tahainu, it was something that already existed in nature, that God is manipulating, that God is now changing nature, but he's not creating a new Bria, a new Metzias. What's the uniqueness of Makas Borah that all of a sudden here, Paro is ready to give in. We close the first series of the seven. There's something unique about the Makas Borah. What happened to Makas Borah? Then now Paro says, Chatasi hapam Hashem atzadik varima. What does he see with Makas Borah? He sees what? He sees that there's Eish mislakachas basocha Borah. And yes, there was fire. And yes, there was water. Two diametrically opposed entities. Two complete opposites. Fire and water cannot coexist. There wasn't a Metzius in the world of having something that's called a hailstorm where you have both the fire and the water coexisting and harmony one with the next. There was a new Bria, this Bria called Makas Borah. We might have hailstorms, we might have ice falling, it might even be 17 and a half inches in diameter. And you might have hailstorms all throughout history. But one like this, where it was a gather of Eishmas Lakachas or Sechabara, that was a whole different ballgame. A new Metzias, someone's creating something new. This is Hashem Atzadik Vaniva Amim Hashem. It's not simply God manipulating that which already exists in nature. It's a God, a supreme omnipotent being that's above Teva, that's now creating a Metzias Chadosh Legamri, of taking two opposites and having them coexist and using them to affect the Egyptian people. But more than that, what's unique about this admixture, this combination of fire and water, and we know that in Egyptian polytheistic belief, in their polytheistic system of conviction, we know, and we've quoted many times, Frankfurt's Kingship and the Gods, and Unwrapping the Pharaohs, and James D. Long Riddle, the Exodus, and Avram Shlomo Yehuda, Accuracy of the Bible, and Ava Vara, their number one god was Ra, was the sun god. Their number two god was the Nile River. They mistakenly thought that it was the movements of the sun, not the moon, that would control the overflowing, saturating waters of the Nile River, but their number one god was the sun god, and their number two god was the Nile. Hence, the Malbim already writes in his commentary on last week's Parsha, Perek Zayin, Pasuk and Aleph, why did Paro present himself as a god to his people by getting up early in the morning and going to the Nile? He says, I'm going to go by Netzachamo. When the sun, the number one god, is coming up, I'm going to go and pray by the number two god, the Nile, when the two meet, because when the two meet, the Hainu, the sun, meets up when it comes and rises above the water, and then you have the Nile River. That's when I'm going to go and rule over Egypt. That's when I'm going to pray. That's when I can do my magic. That's the Koch HaParo, writes the Malbim. You know why Moshe was sent? Not just to see Paro going to the bathroom early in the morning before his people, his subjects, get a chance to witness him going to the bathroom. It was more than that. You're going to go at his most powerful moment of the day, when his two gods meet, Anetzachamo, the sun, the number one Egyptian god, is rising up in the sky in the Nile River. He's down by the Nile. Leo, Rivani, Sisuni. And that was after last week's part. So the Navi says, Paro even said, I made the R. I'm one in one with the R. Here are the two gods. You're going to go and you're going to give him the warnings and you're going to give him the Makas Bedafka when he thinks he's at his greatest power, at his greatest might, when the two gods, number one and number two, meet, that's when you're going to go ahead and shtocham, that's when you're going to give them the warnings, that's when you're going to go ahead and tell you siyodcha, and you're going to do the makas. But now we get to Makas Borah. This is komagefos. I like we're suggesting this is a bria chandosha. This triggers, this awakens and power the cognizance, the recognition that yes, Hashem atzari vaniva amir Hashem. But what is Borah? Eish mislakachem sesochamayim. Where is the Eish coming from? From the sun. The sun is the fireball in the sky. And the sun, the fire ball in the sky, is uniting with the water. That's what? That's the symbol of the fire that's connected to the sun and the water that's connected to the Nile. I'm going to take the two gods. I'm going to go ahead and hit the Egyptian people with symbolically with the representation of their two gods. Not simply like the Malbim is saying, are you going to go down and give Paro the warnings when his god number one, the sun, meets up with the Nile, his god number two? But we're going to close Parshas Va'era that what's Komage Fosai? Not only will I get every aspect of society, every other plague affected, either Adam or Behemoth or the Esav, or a combination of two out of the three thereof, but this Barat, seven, Shiva, Zoe, Svia, Shlemus, the Mach of Shlemus that closes the first set, that closes Parshas Va'era, is what is described as Komage Fosai, the first Mach that simultaneously attacks and addresses Sai the Adam, Sai the Behemoth, and Sai the Esav. So then what is it attacking with? Well, Gevaldik, the same way that the Malkus begin by what? Let's get the Nile River. They end with what? Choshech, let's get the sun. And then we'll get Paro, the son of the sun, and the S-O-N of the S-U-N. But what happens now, Malkus Boron? I'm going to take the power of the sun, the fireball. I'm going to take the power of the water, the Nile. I'm going to mix the two together, and I'm going to use the combination, the symbolism of their gods, number one and number two. I'm going to mix them together, and I'm going to take those two gods, and I'm going to kill the Egyptian people and their livestock and their society, Dafka using their gods themselves. Number one is stuck. What a slap in the face. That's what Paro deserved. Da Hashem Atzadik. I have no shlita now for my gods. I see number one and number two uniting together, knocking me and killing me. This is Hashem Atzadik Vaniva Ami Varashoyim. This is the Mach of Borod. This is Koma Gefosai. We're over and done with time to close the chapter. Close Mach as Borod Hashem Atzadik. So we're done. Why in the world do we even need another three? They already admitted Hashem Atzadik. This is already Koma Gefosai. This is already getting God's number one and number two. Why do we even need a Parshas Bo? Why do we even need three more plagues? Great question. Stay tuned. We'll talk about that another time. Have an awesome night and a great rest of the week ahead. Kaddish. Amen.